Hello and welcome. This time we're talking about reports and dashboards. I'm Rob Limbury.
And I'm David Bond. How you doing?
Yeah, really good. We get asked this this topic a lot, actually, talking about what is the difference between reporting and dashboarding. So I'm keen to flesh out some of the ideas.
So what would you say is the main difference between the two from the managed service provider's perspective?
We see a lot of people starting off the journey with dashboarding. And in a sense, that's the easy way of surfacing data within a particular product.
Well, it's built into the tools as well, isn't it? I mean, all the tools have got dashboarding built in, and they give you some assistance to get your monitoring data, your ticketing data all up there in front of the engineers. So it's a good starting point.
What data have we got, and how can I make sense of it? If you're in the tool, you're going to be some kind of engineer. You're going to be some kind of user of the tool. So you'll be thinking very technically about what data you've got available.
Normally, from the perspective of I'm currently solving a problem, let's say, it looks like disutilization alarms are going off. Let's go and have a look. And then you kind of build a dashboard for the particular problem that you're working on. But then you don't really come back to it. Normally, sort of from the engineer's perspective, they're kind of a temporary thing.
If you're a techie and you've got access to a tool and you can build stuff out, something that helps you in your day-to-day job, that's perfect. But I remember from my time at New Relic, I remember going into one customer and I said, how do you present this data to your higher-ups? And they said, well, we just copy and paste. We'll take screenshots, put it into a PowerPoint. Every month, that's how they did it. Built the narrative around the data that they were getting from their monitoring tool. But for me, that was not only highly manual, but also, like, what happens if that key engineer leaves? How do you build a process around something that is so dependent on capturing the right screenshots, setting the right filters in the right way, making sure the data is consistent from one month to the next? Because if you're presenting, you know, apples and oranges between different months, that doesn't help anybody.
What do you think the higher-ups are looking for? Are they, in my experience, it's, you know, show me everything being green, except maybe a couple of things that are red that I know about and I know you're dealing with. A comfort blanket, is it? What do you think the purpose of these things are? Because I don't generally see them tied to business objectives.
There's a little bit of ass covering there, isn't there? Which is, you know, as an engineer, I just want to show everything green to say, look, what a great job I'm doing. But on the other hand, there's some really interesting analytics that could be presented. If you're running a cloud service, you might want to present, here is the balance that we're making between spending money on capacity and using that capacity.
Yeah.
And maybe that is a discussion that should be tied to an overall business goal. Dashboards are things that are live. You will set your own filters and time ranges, etc., against that dashboard. But it's a live snapshot or a live view of what's going on.
Have you ever seen the BT Oswestry dashboard? They've got a visitor centre there, and you can go and see the state of the whole of the UK's network. Similar things with, you know, the underground, and you can see the entire network.
I did a week of work experience in BT Oswestry as a Shropshire lad, so I know that dashboard. I know that dashboard really well.
What did they have you doing?
I think I was filing for a week.
You're making the tea.
Yeah, I don't think they let me near the kettle. I think that was like after the week one. You get graduated to making tea. Yeah, so I do know exactly that great big map of the UK showing the state of those links. Every time I've been into a NARC, yes, you have that dashboard on a huge screen at the end of the wall and it's showing everything's green, or maybe there's an orange or a red in there, and you know people are working on it. Or if they're not, as a NARC manager, you go, why is that red? How long has it been red for? We can start focusing on fixing it.
So how appropriate is that kind of thing, do you think, for, I mean, I think we agree it's great for operations, but how appropriate do you think that sort of thing is for communicating with management and with customers?
So you'll be familiar with like a status dashboard. They'll give you a status of, you know, whether it's up or down. Is that a dashboard? It probably is a dashboard. If you're communicating to a customer, for me, then the communication becomes very orientated around what's contractual.
Do you think this is more like a sort of a single pane of glass that you offer the customer where they can also order services or renew hardware? Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about here? It's more of a customer portal, isn't it, than a dashboard at that point?
Well, this is the difference between a dashboard and a report. And a report is a deliverable. It's something that I give to you. A dashboard requires you to log in and have a look at the current status. A report says, this is where you are. This is what December has been like. This is what Q1 has been like.
So I think this is the key difference for me between reporting and dashboarding. Is dashboarding is the customer is currently concerned, so they log in and they have a look. Whereas a report is more of a thing that you get monthly or maybe quarterly, and it just arrives in your inbox. It's an opportunity to remind the customer that you're providing them with service, and it doesn't require the customer to think, oh, I'll log in, which is normally when there's a problem. I think that's when customers log in, is when there's an event. I think Outlook's down right now. Let's go and log in and find out what's happening. Whereas a report is more of a positive thing. It's a, here's the service that we provided you last month. And it's proactive. It's you going and saying to the customer, here's the state of the service we're providing for you.
One of the most important things in these contracts is renewal. It's never been more important for managed service providers to look at the competitive landscape. It's a challenging market out there. There's lots of competition. You know, a lot of the tech services that the MSPs have been relying on in the past are becoming commoditized. So retaining customers, and in fact growing with those customers, becomes hugely important, especially for the large ones. Where's the data coming from for these reports? Is it coming from your service desk? Is it coming from your monitoring tool? Is it coming from your backup? Do you want to talk about security feeds? Are you building one report? Are you building many reports?
So let's look at those different personas then. So I think you've got compliance officers, particularly around security. You might have a top level executive who just wants an overview of everything each month. You may have someone who's concerned with hardware refresh programs. What are some of the personas that we might look at around, let's say, a large public sector customer?
So obviously it depends on the services that you're offering, right? But in a nutshell, I would say there are three levels. At the very, very top level, you're looking at overall quality of service being delivered.
And this is kind of the dashboard view, isn't it? This is the, we provided good service last month, and it's just everything's green. And any sort of exceptions to that are picked out and discussed.
Possibly. Although I always think that there's opportunity here to go beyond a dashboard. I think there's a couple of things that you can't put in a dashboard. You can't put the context of what's going on in the wider landscape. Dashboards are also not very good at showing things that you're not doing, right? So what would you recommend as being things and actions to go look at? For example, you've got 70% of your staff have most recently been trained in the latest security breaches, or maybe you've got an 80% coverage of monitoring across your estate. We need to roll out the next 20.
And the executive summary is a great place for that, right? Because the executive, let's face it, they're only going to read the exec summary. They might delve into some of the reporting details if they need to. But you have a whole page of A4 there to provide them with maybe a sort of a everything's green part at the top, but a recommendation section. Here are services that you're not taking that we recommend around security. Here are some capacity issues that we're seeing. Perhaps you'd like to buy more bandwidth from us. So it's almost a sales opportunity. The first part of the exec summary might be a status, everything's green. But then it's that opportunity. The second half is kind of a sales opportunity, really, isn't it?
I think that's the secret sauce of effective communication, where you can go with it. So you can design a report to be completely standalone. There you go, it's got everything in it. Or you could design a report that supports a conversation.
So let's talk about some of those personas that you might see in a managed service customer and some of the personas within the MSP. What conversations are being had, mediated by these reports, and who are the important personas in each side?
You're communicating with the very highest stakeholder that you've got, the guy who signs the checks for your service. Also, all of the influencers within that organisation, so all the consumers of your service. It might be a security officer, it might be a cloud officer, it might be there's a transformation director. So all of those people represent potential avenues of growth. So you need to think about those. And when it comes to the technical reporting, like the details, I think that's when you've got a valid choice. And I think the valid choice is the dashboarding or reporting.
We once had a customer who said, right, I've sold a service and it comes with reporting. So we need a reporting solution. Oh, and we also need something to measure the data with. So what they'd done is they'd gone and sold a service which had no way of aligning with any means of measuring it. There's no point in selling something you can't measure. So basing your service design around that which you can report on is so important. And I think the service design, the monitoring, and the ability to report are absolutely intertwined, because without that, you've got no way of demonstrating that you are in compliance or not with what you have sold the customer. If you've got a customer that's claiming that you're in breach of contract, and you have no way of proving to them that, in fact, the service quality that you've been delivering has been within the legal constraints, then you've got a problem. The importance of reporting in demonstrating that you're providing the service has legal and financial implications.
The other thing about that, of course, is the report is date stamped. So this is Q1's report. These are our numbers. They've been validated. They've been verified. That's what we're reporting to you. So you can go back to any point in history and look at, here is the report. You can't do that with the dashboard. Report is an entity, an asset in its own right.
Per quarter or per month, you're demonstrating compliance. And actually, if your customer is going to complain at the end of the year and refuse a final payment of some sort, you can say, well, hang on a minute, we've been having a conversation all year via the medium of these reports, demonstrating that we have been in compliance.
Which at the end of the day is the end goal. We want to have a contract, demonstrate we're serving the contract, renew the contract, grow the contract. We want to build a business that actually evolves and supports a customer with where they want to get to.
It's an interesting barrier to exit as well, isn't it? Because if the customer's looking to leave you, the next provider would have to demonstrate the same level of compliance that you've been demonstrating. If you're proving each month that you are providing that quality of service, and you've got someone in finance saying, oh, there's a cheaper service over there, one of the objections that the compliance people within the customer should have is, well, it might be cheaper, but will that new provider provably demonstrate the quality of service that they can provide next year? And that's sort of an area of doubt and uncertainty in the customer leaving you. The flip side, of course, is if you've got a customer who thinks they're unhappy with a managed service provider and the competition are offering demonstration that the service quality is high, that's a reason for potentially the customer to leave.
Yeah, so I've had MSPs talk to me about the idea of making data a differentiator. And yes, a lot of these MSPs are recognising it's a competitive landscape. We want to provide that additional value that helps our customer to stay our customer.
So we know MSPs that have got thousands of customers, a big sort of variety between small, medium and large enterprise. All this reporting, and actually the dashboarding as well, sounds like an awful lot of work. What can the MSP do to keep that cost down in providing these reports and dashboards to the customer?
So you could take the approach of, I want to centralize all the data and, you know, bring data in from all the different feeds, and there could be a dozen, there could be two dozen different sort of feeds that you need to look at. That's an approach. So the other approach is to think about federated. So your data lives in those different systems. And actually then you build an engine, like some level of automation that's going to pull data in from those federated places and then build a report from there.
So this is it. We've got these two approaches. We've got the idea of bringing all the data centrally into some kind of data mart and then building a reporting engine on top of that. The other approach is to have this federated approach where, no, the data can stay where it is. So your tickets belong in the ticketing system, your performance data belongs in the performance management system, and let's build reports on that. The problem with the federated approach is quite often what engineers default to is using the tool's own reporting capabilities, which normally are sort of just good enough. I mean, they're certainly not got any branding capability, and they don't have the ability to bring in data from multiple sources. So you've got this sort of choice of, well, we can put an enormous effort to bring all data into a centralized data mart, and that in itself is an exercise, or we can make do with the halfway house of producing lots of little reports from little corners of where the data sits. So the approach that we've of course taken with some of our customers is to say, well, now leave the data where it is, but build a unified reporting engine across all of that data. I think the advantage of that gives you the commonalized branding. It means you can paint the same picture, that one executive summary across your ticketing and your capacity data and your performance management data. You can bring data into the same type of branded reports from multiple sources. So you can bring in your ServiceNow ticketing data, you can bring in your performance management data all into one place. And that's a huge advantage. And you kind of got to do that whether if you're creating a customer portal, a single pane of glass, or if you're creating a reporting portfolio, or if you're creating a set of dashboards, you kind of really have to do the same thing. However you present that data to your customer, it has to be unified, it has to be branded, and it has to tell a common story and provide that basis of that discussion with the customer.
If you don't have this level of communication with your customer built up, they go elsewhere. You know, we talk about this in sales a lot. The customer journey, so the pre-sales journey, so a customer's getting all the attention, getting all, you know, that lovely, you know, sales feeling, then they buy, and then they're in this user journey. And one of the things that I think is really interesting is to join them up. Getting the reporting all aligned and having marketing input and having, you mentioned legal, but having that brand and having that consistency and having that quality demonstrated throughout that entire journey, I think is really, really important.
What we've not really talked about is that conversational point where the service manager and the customer are in a room during a QBR or in some cases a monthly review, and they look at the figures together. And it's about having that same document sat in front of both parties, where both parties accept this is factual, let's discuss it. And the MSP is a bit of an advantage because they can do all the monitoring of the service that they're providing. The right thing to do is to present the data, warts and all, however good or bad it is, and use that as a genuine point of discussion. If the customer trusts the report, then you've got a common ground to start from on discussing service quality, potential service enhancements, potentials for increased service provision, or even reduced service provision. But you've got common starting points. That's also an area where, you know, you might want to look at the type of report. The primary one is really PDF. But increasingly, we're seeing that MSPs are looking for PowerPoint-based reports, where it's actually a presentation in a Teams meeting that happens on a monthly or a quarterly basis. And the way that the data is presented is highly branded with the MSP's brand, but it's in a kind of a dashboard format as a report. It's kind of a hybrid, a really nice approach.
Yeah, and I think the nice thing about a PowerPoint design is it gives you a lot more flexibility of how do you communicate. A Word document, you can get a lot more context in that document. You can provide a lot more advisory stuff.
A Word document that's saved as a PDF, it's got the nice front page, it's got the executive summary, but then all of the detail and the facts behind that exec summary can then be provided all in one document. But when there has been a service problem, all the evidence can then be provided in the same document.
Or document pack.
Or document pack, yeah, exactly. So you could have a service document that's going out to one stakeholder and you've got an executive document going out to another. I think automation is really important here, isn't it? It's about making it so that this isn't a burden on the engineers who, quite frankly, should be ensuring that the service is being well provided.
Look, if you did all this manually, it's going to be painful. You're going to be copying and pasting from here till Sunday. And then you're going to be trying to read all of the relevant graphs and make all the appropriate judgments so that you can write about them. You have to look at your data engineering costs, number one. So how much time and energy do you need in data engineering? You have to look, number two, at creating some kind of template for your reports. So you've got the repeatability in there. The nice thing about bringing automation to bring these two things together is that you can then start to use a process of continuous improvement. They build that learning organization. So you can use a process of continuous improvement, making changes, adding an extra section, taking sections away, taking the detail away and putting it in a separate supportive document or an appendix.
I think that's where you can provide a service, obtain some learnings cross-customer, improve upon the service, and then report those improvements ongoing and demonstrate to the customer that you are helping them. One report we've got for Cisco demonstrates that the PCERT security flags are improving month upon month, demonstrating a continuous improvement in the security of the service that's being provided.
I like that. Not just to continually improve your reporting and think about the reporting as a process for you to improve on, but also to think about how can you bring that spirit of continuous improvement to your customers? How can you help become a more effective partner?
So let's review a little bit here. So I think we both agree that we've got reporting and dashboards. It's not one or the other. You're going to need a mixture of those. I think we've discussed that reports are really useful for mediating that regular touch point conversation with the customer, providing that historical record, providing the legal record and the compliance record that you've provided the service that you said you would. I think we've sort of covered that dashboards are more about the in the moment. Here's the status of what we're providing right now, whereas reports are more of a, here's a historic demonstration with an artifact that you can hold on to. Reports are proactive. You get them in your inbox every month. You might not read them every month, but when your account manager or your service manager comes for a conversation, they are the basis for that conversation, whether that's in a PDF or in a PowerPoint form or an Excel.
As an engineer, if you're building dashboards out and you're thinking about how you consume that dashboard and that information, that's great. Carry on doing that. You'll need to do that. But if you're then communicating elsewhere in an organization, the communication needs to be designed to support only the conversations that you want to be having with your customers and your customers want to be having with you.
Well, I think that's been a great discussion on reports and dashboards. We'd love to have more conversation with you. Come find us at community.panoramicdata.com. We'd love to talk to you there. Where else can they contact us, Rob?
So come and find us on panoramicdata.com, or you can also find us on LinkedIn.
Or you can find Rob in his shed.
I'm not giving you the location of this shed is a closely guarded secret.